الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله أولئك في ضلال مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا ذكر هازم اللذات الموت أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. The aspect of refreshing our intention, we often do remind ourselves, and we should always keep reminding ourselves that we should be refreshing our intention. What is the purpose of our gathering? Why have we taken the time to gather in the house of Allah Ta'ala? So this is not just as a routine, just to tick a box. But the purpose and the object is that by speaking, by listening to the talks of Deen, the words of Allah Ta'ala, the words of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this is something we hope will inspire our hearts. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that it becomes a means of our hearts becoming filled with the noor of the words of Allah Ta'ala, the noor of the words of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this drives us towards amal. This drives us towards taqwa, towards the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So it's not just a matter of saying something or hearing something and then done with it. It should be the conscious intention that we want to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And this is one of the things that we are undertaking to inspire our hearts so that we become closer to Allah Ta'ala through amal on what we will learn. So in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ, that the one who Allah Ta'ala has expanded his heart for Islam, and he is on this noor from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Noor. Noor, we understand the word noor, light. Light is a very clearly understood concept. Darkness is the absence of light. That's the definition of darkness, the absence of light. In light, then a person can see his way around. He can distinguish between what is beneficial and harmful for him. He can find his path. And in the absence of that light, he's in darkness. Then he doesn't know where he's heading, what he's doing. So likewise, there's a light that comes into the heart. One is the external light. But likewise, there's an internal light. This world, there are two separate ways in which people view the world and things about the world. And how this world, whatever its happenings are, there's two separate ways in which people view this. One is that way which people who have no iman in Allah Ta'ala, no yaqeen, no conviction, how they view things. How they view things purely on the basis of what they understand to be the manner in which the asbab of dunya operate. Allah Ta'ala has made dunya darul asbab. Dunya is a place of means. There are various things. Allah has placed various effects in it. Fire has an effect of burning. Water has the effect of cooling. And then likewise, there are other things in dunya, the various asbab and means. Person has some need. So now depending what the need is, his mind runs in that direction to the means that will be of some help to him for that purpose. If he is ill, then his mind immediately runs towards the means of medication, treatment. If he has some other issue, his heart and mind immediately is contemplating that he will need money. He will need some wealth. His heart and mind is already, it's in tune with that, that this is the means and this is what will make it happen. So now one is purely to look at things in that manner. That is the way in which people devoid of iman, they look at things only in that way. That is it. That is the be all and end all of their manner of thinking and their manner of looking at things. And therefore, if they have the means of dunya, then they feel satisfied, they feel content, they feel secure, they feel all the things that they are trying to feel. If they have the asbab of dunya, and if those asbab for any reason are not available, not accessible, or not even there, then the person becomes completely depressed, bewildered, he's lost every kind of hope in life. Why? Because the asbab that he can see are not accessible or not available, nothing got left. So now, if there's no asbab in front of him, and if his entire yaqeen is only in those asbab, so what else he's got to live for? If his heart and mind can only fathom that it is the means that are physical means that his eyes can see, that do things, that wealth will get things done, that it is the armory of dunya that will make things happen, that it is the medicine only that will bring about some relief. All he can see is this, and he knows nothing else. So if this is not available to him, then he's got nothing. So that's one way of looking at things, which people devoid of any iman and yaqeen, that's the only way they look at things. And the other way of looking at things is, that these asbab, Allah has placed effect in it. And therefore Allah Ta'ala has made us mukallaf to use these asbab. If a person is hungry, then Allah Ta'ala has made food the means of satiating his hunger. And if that food is available and he refuses to eat it, and if he dies of starvation, he'll be guilty of a very severe sin of suicide. So he must use it. But his yaqeen is not in that. This is the way that people of iman and yaqeen look at things. Allah has created this means, and when Allah Ta'ala puts an effect in it, then it'll have the desired effect. And if Allah withholds that effect, then nothing will happen. Or rather, the opposite may happen as well. That food which he thought will be a means of filling his belly, which will satiate him, which will bring him energy. You see, now that very food reacted. There was some reaction as a result of which now some complication came about. And now there's some reaction due to which now some ulcer burst. And now this person is on a ventilator. And the next thing he's gone. See what happened? No, he ate certain food. That food didn't agree with him. That had some reaction. That food led to his death. Now that very food which he was consuming as a means of nourishment, but that became the means of death for him. So he has yaqeen that when Allah Ta'ala wills, this is what will happen. This means will become a means of benefit for me. And if Allah Ta'ala withholds that benefit, then no matter what the whole world desires and whoever wishes to do something, that's not going to help me in any way. And if Allah wills, that same means will become a means of harm and destruction. So now these are two totally different ways of looking at things. So people devoid of iman only see it from one way. They know nothing else. And therefore, when they can see nothing but they cannot see the means that they attach their hearts and minds to, then it's depression, then it's hopelessness, because there's nothing else left. When a person of iman, he sees those means also, his heart is attached to Allah Ta'ala. And if it's not there, where his heart is attached to, Allah is ever living. Allah Ta'ala is ever living. And Allah is the control of everything. And Allah Ta'ala is the one puts effect in the means. So when Allah is ever living, what depression is going to come to him? Because he's attached to Allah Ta'ala. He's attached to the controller, to the giver. He's attached to the one who has qudrat over everything, power over everything. So this is the very big difference between people devoid of iman and yaqeen and people who look with the eye of iman, the eye of yaqeen, that they don't attach their hearts to the things, they use the things. But their hearts are with Allah Ta'ala. And then they understand very well that while these means are also means of whatever insan's needs are, but they understand there are even greater means than this, which the physical eye can't see. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala in Surah Nuh, the advice that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his people, so one of the advices that he gave to them was, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. So now he's exhorting them towards abundant istighfar. استغفروا ربكم. Seek forgiveness of your Rabb. And one is now that a person is told, look, make istighfar, make tawbah, turn to Allah Ta'ala. And then what? And Jannat is awaiting for you. And that is a reality. That the path to Jannat is the obedience to Allah Ta'ala. But while that reality is 100%, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is giving them the cash benefits. What will benefit? And the Quran Sharif is not just some historical record. All this is hidayat for us. Allah Ta'ala is relating this in the Quran Sharif as hidayat for us. That we do the same, we'll get the same end result. Turn to Allah Ta'ala, adopt the right means. Adopt the means of istighfar, abundant istighfar. Istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Yursilis samaa alaykum midrara. Now, insan, what he can see? How rain comes? He says, well, there's all this whole detail that science will give him. That the vapor that rises through the heat and then that becomes the water vapor goes up and then the condensation and then the clouds are formed and then the wind will blow those clouds to some place and then when it gets so heavy to a certain point and whatever else happens, then it will rain. So he, insan, science gave him the whole theory behind how rain comes. So now that has become the be-all and end-all of him. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Allah Ta'ala gives rain via istighfar. استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. And in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Surah Hud, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam says the same thing to his people. Repent, make istighfar, Allah will send down the barakat from the heavens. Allah will open the skies out. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. Allah will increase your numbers because your strength outwardly you rely on your numbers. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah will give you abundant offspring. Allah will give you abundant wealth. But through what? Istighfar. Turning to Allah Ta'ala. Connecting oneself to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So now that one means, dunya right now is, everybody is just fixated by what's going on. And then if this happens and that happens, and then whatever other things that the people of dunya all just get absorbed into. But while whatever precautions somebody has to take, they'll take the precautions. Whatever are within the means that Allah Ta'ala has provided for a person to adopt the means, he'll adopt it. But the heart with Allah Ta'ala and the heart attached to the real means, the means that are the higher level of means. So now we need to get attached to that. So to istighfar, to dua, الدُّعَاء يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلَ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, dua, it benefits from that calamity which has already befallen, that a person earnestly begs Allah Ta'ala, Allah will uplift that. And the calamity that hasn't yet come, but the person is earnestly making dua. In one hadith it comes, that keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala in ease. When things are fine, everything is okay, then don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala in that condition. Allah Ta'ala will then assist you in difficulty. Your voice will be well recognized. When the difficulty comes, the angels recognize the voice. This voice always called out to Allah Ta'ala. This dua must be presented first. So now this is the two different ways in which people live their lives. we have to turn our attention towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this will happen when? This will happen when this heart gets filled with this noor. So in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is saying, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. When a person's heart has been expanded for Islam, that his heart is completely at home in deen. His mind and heart thinks deen. He's got no reservation about anything that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Doesn't have any kind of hesitation about anything that Allah Ta'ala has given. But Allah's command is 100%. Not too long ago, there was some issue and some marital dispute. So now in the process, so the wife is saying that she's ready to reconcile, but on some conditions. What are the conditions? One of the conditions, so now, says, no, this Al-Qawam, I don't want this Al-Qawam. What is this? Allah Jani, I never heard about this before. What are you talking about? You don't want this Al-Qawam. So she was pronouncing it wrongly, but Na'udhu Billah, Thumma Na'udhu Billah. What she was referring to is, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala nisa. That men are the rulers over women. Now when you say rulers, immediately the mind runs towards the zalims of dunya. So now because the zalims of dunya, the rulers who are zalims, so now na'uzu billah, that's the meaning that comes in the mind when reciting this ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala doesn't ordain any zulm. Allah Ta'ala prevents and forbids zulm. Qawwam is not zulm. But yes, Allah has made a system that the husband is the ruler. But he will rule as per the justice that the Quran Sharif has given him, as per the beautiful way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that compassion, that kindness, that consideration, that kind of life and that kind of example that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that if anybody adopts that, then the whole world will say that this is the kind of husband we want. So that is the qawam that Allah Ta'ala has made the husband. So now she is saying she doesn't want na'uzu billah this, meaning that she wants the equality that the Western world has now brought about this concept. So now she wants this. Now where's the mind gone? What kind of Islam is in the heart? Is there any iman left by making such a statement? That what Allah Ta'ala has ordained in the Quran, you say, na'uzu billah, I don't want this. So what you want then? You don't want this. You have no iman left. Now this is unfortunately the way things are going. And because people are reading anything and everything, listening to anything and everything, listening to anyone and everyone, as long as it sounds exciting, then it's worth listening to. But what is it really giving? And now sometimes this is what it's giving. That no, this equality, this is what is the, and some kind of distorted interpretation of some verses and some hadith to now just justify that, support it in some way. So Allah Ta'ala says that, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. When this noor comes in the heart, when this heart expands for Islam, then this fills up with this noor. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they immediately inquired, that now this is, we're talking about noor filling in the heart. How does one know really did this? Because it's not something that you can see with the physical eye. It's not something you can put one thermometer or some other pressure machine or something and see what's the reading. There's got no way in which a person can physically work out or through some instruments try to figure out whether this noor came in the heart or not. So then there must be some other way of trying to understand, has this noor come in the heart? So they inquired from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is there any sign? Is there any sign that this noor has come in the heart? How will an individual judge for himself? That am I somewhere close to this? How much of it have I acquired? Or am I miles away from it still? So first Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when this noor enters the heart, إِذَا دَخَلَ النُّورُ الْقَلْبِ إِنْ فَسَحَ وَانْ فَتَحَ. This heart expands for it. When this noor enters, the heart expands. It doesn't physically expand. But like we understand, when something expands, then whatever it encompasses comfortably fits in. It's not anymore in a constrained situation. It's very comfortable. Meaning that the heart is totally in comfort with deen. Every aspect of deen, a person feels totally 100% inclined to it. His heart is at home in it. And this is everything for him. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave three signs that this noor has entered the heart. So this is every single person can judge for himself that to what extent has this noor come in my heart. So the three signs that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, number one, al-inabatu ila daril khulood. The first sign that this noor has entered the heart. And this noor, when this noor enters the heart, the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, that son of ma'rifat comes alive. That son of ma'rifat rises. When this noor comes into the heart, then a person has complete yaqeen in everything. This noor comes in the heart, then the person has that yearning for Allah Ta'ala. So now the first sign that this noor has come in the heart is al-inabatu ila daril khulood. That the heart becomes inclined towards the everlasting abode. Everlasting abode of Jannat. Akhirat Jannat. So the heart is now attached to Jannat. The person's aspirations, Jannat. What are his dreams all about? That how will I get Jannat? He makes his effort for dunya to earn his halal rizq. But he doesn't go to bed dreaming about dunya. He goes to bed concerned about akhirat. He goes to bed concerned about akhirat. Allahumma inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk. In the hadith sharif, the various du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he would go to bed. Now one is the very simple and easy du'a. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. That too is such a great reminder. Such a simple short du'a which we should be reciting before going to bed. Ya Allah, in your name, amutu, I die. Already reminding akhirat. Remember, you may not wake up from this. And how often it happens. People go to sleep, meaning healthy, fit person, or ill person just went off to take a nap, and the person never got up from it. The person was gone to akhirat. So now the person is reminding himself, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Allah, if you will give life again, we'll wake up. Otherwise, we'll carry on out of this dunya. And then, Allahumma qini adabaka yawma tab'athu ibadak. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite this three times. Now, who's reciting it? The ma'asum Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. As ta'aleem to his ummat. Remember Allah Ta'ala and go to bed. Now, what a tragedy it would be that this is the ta'limat, these are the teachings of our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How a person should be going to bed. And instead of that, instead of remembering akhirat, Allahumma qini azabaka yawma tab'athu ibadak. Ya Allah, save me from your punishment the day you will resurrect all your servants. What a difficult day that will be. People will be drowning in their perspiration. Ya Allah, save me from the torments of that day. Now one is to go to bed thinking about this, making these du'as, begging Allah's forgiveness, begging Allah Ta'ala's protection. Whether we wake up tomorrow morning, we don't know. And instead of that, a person goes to bed watching some filth. And he falls asleep. His last thing is he's watching some filth. And if in that condition then moth comes, what kind of moth that will be? The last thing was something was stuck in his ears, listening to music, listening to some haram. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, and where is this? Worlds apart. How are we going to meet Allah Ta'ala if this is how we left this dunya? Allahumma inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk. وَفَوَّضْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ وَأَلْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ رَغْبَةً وَرَهْبَةً إِلَيْكَ لَا مَلْجَأَ وَلَا مَنْجَأَ مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ آمَنْتُ بِكِتَابِكَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلْتَ وَبِنَبِيِّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتَ. The lengthy dua, but very simple. Person takes a little bit of effort to learn it. But this is filled with ma'rifat and filled with complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. Now this is the last things before going to bed. And in this particular dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَجْعَلْهُنَّ آخِرَ مَا تَقُولُ. Make these the last words that you utter, that come out of your mouth before you fall asleep. That You are expressing utmost and complete and total submission to Allah Ta'ala. So these are just some pointers that what we have been taught, how to turn our attention to Allah Ta'ala. And our aspiration is akhirat. We go to bed concerned about the hereafter. And if we're dreaming about something, we're dreaming about Jannat as our aspiration. We often daydream some things and dream about big, big things in dunya. To start dreaming about Jannat, meaning that I want to get there. But now what is required to get there? What effort is necessary? What I have to do? So now, al-inabatu ila daril khulud. The inclination comes in the heart towards the everlasting abode. So now what is this inclination? Just to dream about something? When that genuine inclination towards the everlasting abode comes, then a person will exert himself in those things that will benefit him in the akhirat. That will be the outcome of it. That is a sign that this inclination has come. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was masoom, completely sinless. But how he exerted himself, to the extent that his Mubarak feet would swell, such lengthy rakats. And he would be exerting himself in every aspect of deen. The Sahaba Kiram, they were these accepted noble personalities of Allah Ta'ala. But how they exerted themselves, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an was the person among all the Sahaba, all their hearts attached to the Akhirat. So now, he was a person who was engrossed in ilm. Morning, evening, learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a result, the most number of ahadith are narrated from him. Engrossed in this. And together with that, daily his ma'mool, 12,000 tasbih. Daily ma'mool. Al-inabatu ila daril khulud. Attached to the abode, everlasting abode of akhirat. So now, this has to be done as much as possible, because all this is going to benefit in the akhirat. Now day and night he's engrossed in this, and with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time, and just content to have whatever little food he has, and sometimes there was nothing available, he said, I would fall unconscious. Fall unconscious out of sheer hunger. And somebody would come along, he would think maybe I had an epileptic fit. So now in those days they would treat it in some way by placing the foot on the person's neck and probably massaging it in some way. Somebody would come and start doing this for me, thinking maybe I had an epileptic fit, that's why I fell. He says, whereas the reality was, it was sheer starvation and hunger. And as a result, I just didn't have any energy, I collapsed. But with all that, 12,000 tasbih daily. Now, we don't have time for 100 tasbih, 100 times to say subhanallah, 100 times to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 times to say astaghfirullah. After the salah, just to stay at tasbih fatimi, or at least 10 times, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. The hadith sharif, lengthy hadith, the crux of it, the poor sahaba came, and then they said, but we are lagging behind, because the wealthy sahaba are spending their wealth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you recite these tasbihat 10 times each, they can't reach you. And then they came back and said, but they are practicing this as well. Said, well, then you recite it 33 times each. Nobody can reach this reward except the person who does this. So the lesson in this is, what great reward. A person can be spending millions and this would be far greater in reward. And how much time it takes, but where the heart is attached. If the heart is attached to the akhirat, there'll be time available for this. If the heart is attached to the akhirat, then this is going to be more valuable than whatever else. So then the person will have the time for it. And in fact, he'll have to tear himself away from it eventually. That now he's completed it, now there's some responsibilities to now attend to, he'll have to tear himself away from it. It won't be the case where, that before the imam finished the second salam, he's already running out. That hardly the imam made the second salam and he's already out. So he came in last in and first out. So now that won't be the way that now is this. Normally if Asr Namaz takes 5 minutes, today is taking 6 minutes. What's wrong with this imam? Al-inabatu ila daril khulud. If the heart is attached to the abode of akhirat and to the everlasting abode, then whatever is going to benefit him there, he will exert himself for it. Sheikh Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, very great personality, he was on his deathbed. And with great difficulty, they helped him to make wudu. And now after the wudu was completed, He is saying to the people who are assisting him, but you all forgot to make khilal of the beard. So now in that moment he was now, imagine what condition he might have been in his last moments of life almost. And now he's still thinking carefully, and it probably at that moment he might have been just maybe whatever, his attention shifted. So he didn't say anything immediately, now he remembered. So he's saying, but you all forgot to make khilal of the beard. So they, whoever was assisting him, they said, but look, okay, we forgot. Now because you are in such pain, you are having such difficulty. So in any case, your wuzu is done, but so no need to now undertake any further difficulty right now. Inshallah, everything is fine. He said, no, make the wuzu again. Because now the occasion of the khilal of the beard is not at the end of the wuzu. The occasion is at the time of after washing the face. So he says, make the wuzu again, because I don't want to meet Allah Ta'ala in the condition that I left out the sunnah. So any case, they now would, because of his condition at that time, it was very difficult for him, and now they're helping him to make this wuzu again. They started the wuzu again and completed the entire wuzu, finished off the wuzu, and he passed away. But now what made him want to still make sure that gets done? Despite the physical difficulty, despite the hardship that was being experienced at that time, al-inabatu ila daril khulud, his heart was so attached that this is going to be of great benefit for me in the akhirat. That every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is filled with immense noor and benefit in dunya, and what is in the akhirat is beyond imagination also. Every salah with jama'ah, now okay, I'll make it at home. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized that jama'ah and emphasized the house of Allah Ta'ala being the place where the person performs his salah. Now, just for some flimsy things, if the heart al-inabatu ila daril khulud, he will undertake what comes unless Shariat has made it valid for him. Otherwise, he will not neglect that. Likewise, all the other aspects of deen. So the first thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, al-inabatu ila daril khulud. Then the second aspect, just briefly to touch on this, the time has passed. وَالتَّجَافِي عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ. That one is the heart being attached to the akhirat. So that is one part of it. But the other side of it is that the heart becomes disinclined from the abode of deception. This dunya is the abode of deception. And this abode of deception, because this abode gives him a lot of false hope, and gives him long, long hope, and makes him feel, don't worry, you'll be here forever. And if not forever, then at least for a very long time still. So you don't need to worry too much now. Just enjoy life now. Later on, you sort it out. That is the deception dunya puts him into. And then so many things dunya deceives him in. Don't worry, I'm with you. Suddenly that thing has parted. Suddenly that thing has given him the, it left him behind. So many times dunya deceives him. So the thing is, dunya, halal, whatever Allah has blessed somebody with, that's Allah's ni'mat. To be used in the way Allah is pleased with it. But it mustn't be in the heart. Allah Rum Rahmatullah Alayh, he gives a full detailed example about it. And the example that this dunya is like a ship on water. So that ship cannot sail without the water. It needs the water to sail. But as long as the water is under the ship, then it will be beneficial to it. And it will help it to sail. But if that water comes into the ship, it will sink it. So likewise is dunya, what halal dunya Allah has blessed a person with, Allah's ni'mat. But keep it out of the heart. Just to sail over it. It must never be allowed to come into the heart. And what is the sign that it's come into the heart? That for that dunya, a person is prepared to break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. For that dunya, he is prepared to do things that will displease Allah Ta'ala. Then that has come into the heart. It's going to sink it now. And when it sinks it, Allah forbid the damage it will do. So therefore, this tajafi an daril ghurur, this disinclination from the dunya. So a person will live in dunya, he will fulfill whatever Allah Ta'ala's commands are, he will fulfill the rights of people around him, he will enjoy Allah's ni'mats as well, but his heart will not be stuck into the things of dunya. He won't dream dunya. He won't have long, long plans about dunya. He'll live his life and carry on. And fulfill Allah's commands and please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And his aspirations will be akhirat. And therefore the third thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, wal isti'adadu lil mawti qabla nuzulihi, and preparing for death before it comes. Because obviously there's no point in preparing for it after it comes. There's no chance of preparing after it comes. Meaning that there's no idea when death will come. There's no idea which moment Malakul Maut will suddenly be standing there. And suddenly the person will be gone. Nobody has any idea. So long before that moment happens, Allah knows best when it comes. So the only opportunity is now. That the person makes tawbah, he makes istighfar, he turns to Allah Ta'ala, and he prepares for death. The pious people were so conscious about death. There's one incident mentioned in the books of hadith. One great muhaddith, Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullah. So another muhaddith, Muhammad ibn Fadl rahimahullah, he says the first time that Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullah came to me to ask me about a particular hadith, to learn one hadith, meaning a hadith which they already had learned, but they learned it via some extra narrators. So now to shorten the chain and get it more closer to the source, you travel sometimes 1 month's journey. Because now they got it on a more authentic level. This was before the kitabs became, were compiled and were published. So any case, now he came all the way to Muhammad ibn Fadl rahimahullah, and he came to now ask him about this hadith sharif. So as soon as he asked him about this hadith, immediately this muhaddith Muhammad ibn Fadl rahimahullah, he began narrating it, haddathana fulan. So he only still took the first narrator's name, because they would narrate the entire chain of narrators first and then narrate the hadith. So he still only took the first narrator's name, and Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullah said to him that, look, if you will dictate it to me from your notebook, I'll appreciate it. Meaning I got full confidence in your memory, in that you will remember it exactly as it is. But if you will read it out from your notebook, that'll be better. So he didn't take any offense at that. He didn't now suddenly become upset about it. Like our condition now, anybody say something that now doesn't seem to go well with my position, my status. So the ego gets caught up in the middle. Say, what you think about me? If you don't have any confidence in my memory, then go away from here. What you think about yourself? So he didn't say any such thing. He said, very well. But the kitab was not with him there. The notebook was somewhere maybe in his house. So he stood up to now go and leave and go and fetch it. So he says, as soon as I stood up, so he grabbed onto my garment to hold me back. And he said to me, Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullah said to Muhammad ibn Fadl rahimahullah, he said to him, look, please, first read it out to me, or first give it to me from memory. And after you give it to me from memory, then go and bring your notebook and read it again. فَإِنِّي أَخْشَىٰ أَنْ أَلَّا أَلْقَاكَ, I'm afraid that maybe in this short time you may go to fetch your book and come back. We may not meet again. Why we may not meet? Either I would be gone, death would come to me. I'll leave this dunya with one hadith less. I don't want to leave without that. Or that you might pass away. If you pass away, then this opportunity is lost forever to get this hadith from you. So first, please, you give it to me from memory. Then you go and bring your notebook and read it to me, so I just have it from the notebook as well. But what consciousness of death, that any moment this could become a reality, and one day that is what will happen. One moment will come when that will strike, when Malakul Maut will be taking that ruh out. So now what consciousness these people had, this is that message that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving. This is a yardstick. This is for me to judge, and for all of us to judge, to what extent this noor has come in the heart, for which this heart then expands, and the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala comes. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّي. These are the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given as the yardstick, that now to judge, is that noor there or not? And this noor has to be brought in. It's not a matter of, well, if it's there, mashallah, very good. If it's not there, like one of those things, like somebody says, well, if he's driving a, now, some top of the range vehicle, so very good. If not, doesn't matter, I'll walk. No, if that noor is not there, then we're in darkness. And that darkness will become a problem in the qabr. That darkness will become a problem on the day of Qiyamah. And it will also be a problem in dunya already. Because in the darkness, then a person's, he can't find the path. Then in the darkness, he cannot see the harm he's doing with that haram glances. With the darkness, he cannot see what he lost in not making his salah with jama'ah. In the darkness now, he's doing the wrong things and it doesn't matter to him. Why? Because in darkness, a person doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what he lost, what he gained and what he lost. Everything is in darkness. So it's not just a matter of that, well, okay, if I got it, very good. And if I didn't get it, so no big deal. No, it's a major loss and a very dangerous situation. Dunya, qabr and akhirat could all be in a major problem. So that effort has to be made to bring this noor in the heart. And this comes from exerting ourselves in the path of Allah Ta'ala, being in the right company, being in the pious company, reading the books and the lives of the pious, being very consistent on the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, all the amal of deen, putting ourselves forward in this and serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala. All this together will build up that noor in the heart, and this will bring about this expansion which will bring that ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Said Durood Sharif. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا.
Allah, Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعفو وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إله العالمين يا الله, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive what we did deliberately and mistakenly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, what we did so shamelessly and blatantly, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, make us your obedient and loyal servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of Islam, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the noor of Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, incline our hearts to the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, disincline it from dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to prepare for death, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, take us at a time that you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us moth in your obedience.
obedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us dip on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us those, Ya Allah, who keep the masjid alive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us those who keep the masjid abad at all times, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, attach our hearts to the house of Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah. Attach our hearts to your house, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the zeal for Jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the aspirations of Akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Remove all the evils from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, accept us and our progenies till Qiyamah for the khidmat of your Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those in any kind of difficulty, hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those who are ill, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those in any kind of financial difficulties or other difficulties, Ya Allah, you grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Grant abundant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are in debts, make their debts get paid out with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the tawfiq of all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant afiyat to every believer, Ya Allah. Afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any oppression, suffering, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Grant them afiyat, Ya Allah. Especially our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Sudan. Ilahul Alameen, remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant them total afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. Give them victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. Guide us to your pleasure, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from all the haram, Ya Allah. Save us from all the illicit things, Ya Allah. Save us from all the evil chatting, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Save our progenies till Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Save the ummah from the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save each one's iman, Ya Allah. Save the morality and chastity of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us steadfast on deen, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on the way of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah. All we have raised their hands with this dua, Ya Allah. Each one's jais, needs, pious aspirations. Ya Allah, you fulfill each one's needs, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we are, Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all that we have asked for out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.